Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading on this, the day of Pentecost, is recorded for us in the prophet Ezekiel. It's the vision of the valley of the dry bones, and if you start humming the song, well, I guess that's just okay. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Then He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound and behold, a rattling and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. It's the opening events of the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, by the way, if you don't remember, it was actually an Old Testament feast. So we had had people in Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, 50 days later, they're a different group, but others were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We at this time are supposed to be watching a video of our Sunday school choir singing. It worked on my computer. It did not work on the PowerPoint computer. And I'm sorry for the groans that you guys probably heard too loudly from me upstairs as it failed a second time. So hopefully next week we'll have the issue resolved and we'll be able to listen to the Sunday school choir. In lieu of that, I invite you to please stand as we join in the triple alleluia on page 190. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
To thee, O Lord.
Again, we're in the context of the gospel. We're in the upper room. This is before Jesus' death and resurrection, but it is his promise to send a helper, to send a paraclete. Jesus said, "When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Well, good morning. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is Pentecost, a day that marks the largest portion of the church calendar, where for a whole season our attention is focused on the growth of the church, where the gospel of our Lord moves from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the surrounding lands of the Roman Empire, and eventually to the wider world. But how? By means of the Holy Spirit, that amazing paraclete. Okay, I know it's a parakeet on the screen, but see, it's not a pair of cleats that athletes wear to aid them in their particular sport, nor is it done by a parakeet dancing in a pair of cleats, as funny as that actually is. It's a little play on words. But this work was and is done by the paraclete, the helper, the one whom Christ sends following his ascension into heaven. It is by the power and work of the third person, the Trinity, that went out and captured the hearts of people from different tribes, languages, and nations, giving them the power to confess Christ as Lord. This is why we celebrate Pentecost. For this is the paraclete whom Christ speaks about on the night of his betrayal. Yes, our gospel reading takes us back to that night. Already the feet of the disciples have been washed. Judas has since left following the institution of the Lord's Supper. And Jesus has given a warning about those who fall away from the faith, those who no longer have a desire to abide in him. But before the night is over, well, at least in the upper portion, in the upper room here, Christ expands on hope. Hope, even though he was about to leave them, not just in death, but in his ascension. This hope in which he speaks about is about one whom he'll send to help them, to guide them, to be with them once he leaves. And listen to what he says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You know, I can't imagine what the disciples must be feeling at this moment, hearing that their master, the one who they've been with for the past 3 years, will be gone. The only thing we know about is that Jesus talks about the sorrow that fills their heart. But it's not as if they're being abandoned or thrown to the wayside, forgotten about. He ensures that they'll be taken care of. And we've already heard this promise before, especially when God spoke to Joshua following the death of Moses. Here's what the Lord said. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we kind of get to hear that promise reiterated here tonight. Well, today, but here in this night, here with the disciples, where Jesus tells the disciples, do not be afraid. For one will come. You will not be left behind, not forgotten. For they are promised, they are guaranteed that this paraclete, this helper will always be there for them, helping them and spreading the word, spreading the gospel of their Lord. But it's not like it's going to be done in an odd way. It's not like they're going to each have a parakeet sitting on their shoulder, whispering in their ear, here, say this. Nor is it going to be a parakeet dancing in cleats, dazzling the crowds. Yes, believe in Jesus because you just saw a dancing bird. I know the play on words is a little much, but it's important for us to know exactly what this paraclete is going to do, what kind of helper is being sent, and the work that he is promising to do here on earth. And you know, really, we don't have to go that far. We don't have to leave the text even to hear what this helper is going to do. For Christ continues. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The helper will convict. I guess that's helpful. But what will he do the convicting of? It's not like there's a court case every time the disciples preach the word of God. There are many times they appear before the councils and have to answer for what they speak about, but each time testifying of who Christ is. And I can't recall there being an episode of Law and Order taking place in the book of Acts. I know the word convict is rather a legal term that brings to mind someone being convicted of a crime that they have committed. But this is to everyone's actual benefit. See, when Jesus spoke of this convicting, the helper will make those people who have been lost see how far they are from Christ. To look towards him. Thus, this convicting is both salutary and judicial. It is a blessing to those who turn from the darkness as the Spirit calls them forth. But at the same time, it is hard to hear when the Spirit, even though speaks the word of God, works on these people, and yet those who ever hear the word will not always turn to it. Instead, they'll be confirmed in the same judgment as the devil. And we see this work unfold right before us in Scripture, especially in our text from Acts chapter 2. We see this especially when Peter gives his famous speech at Pentecost, that wonderful sermon testifying about who Christ truly is, what he has done, and what he has done for all these people, indeed for all the world. And that day, 3,000 new souls were added. Those who were baptized in Christ's death and resurrection. And then again, if we continue on to Acts chapter 8, where Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch about the prophet, with who the prophet Isaiah was preaching about, highlighting, he tells him about Christ. And he too was baptized. These people, these two instances, were met with the gospel of the Lord and being convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. They left behind the lies of the ruler of this world and professed Christ as Lord. Thus, they embraced the only truth, the only life and salvation that exists for all sinners. And unfortunately, we witness those whenever they are met with the Word of God. Rather than turn to Christ, they are confirmed in their own judgment. And we see it most clearly as we continue through the book of Acts, especially when Ananias and Sapphira both lied to the Holy Spirit, keeping back portions of the field that they promised. And rather than giving all that they had promised, they died. For this hypocrisy, because they allowed Satan to fill their hearts, they lied to the Spirit. And both dropped dead of their own accord because of that. Or when St. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, who gives a wonderful sermon testifying to who Christ is, testifying before the people who sees him, telling about the life and salvation that he has received. Upon hearing this news, the Jews who sees him did not turn, did not act with humility, did not testify and repent. Instead, they killed him, stoning him to death, because they rather believed the lies than turn to the very truth that would have set them free. You see, when and wherever the Spirit goes, wherever he works, two things always take place. Either those who hear the gospel are saved and share in the amazing blessings, the promises given through Christ in faith, or they share in the same fate as the devil, the ruler of this world, sharing in the fate of eternal separation from God and eternal death. Now, please understand that the Spirit is here to seek and destroy the pagan, the unbeliever, those who have no desire to believe or have not yet heard. It's the opposite. The Spirit is called the Helper, the Paraclete, because he is here to spread the word of God, to convict, to crack open that stone that many would call a heart, and to get it to beat again. And he calls people not to look at idols, false gods, or to embrace the desires of the flesh, but to look towards Christ, the one and only salvation for all sinners. This is why the Spirit has come to convict. And perhaps the most amazing part of this Spirit, of this paraclete, is the promise which Christ gives to his own disciples. That he comes not with a new revelation, not with a new message, or a new gospel, but come to ensure that these disciples carry out the one gospel that they have heard, teaching as they have been taught. See, everything he does is to ensure that this work continues, to ensure that people will hear about the risen and ascended Lord, that they hear about Christ's death and resurrection. And Jesus states, when the truth, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you all into truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. That's an amazing promise. To hear that the Spirit will continue to work in their lives, to work with them, to help them, to guide them as they move on when Christ is gone. This is an amazing promise given and upheld by the third person of the Trinity, as he works to ensure that they continue to teach that Christ is the second person of that Trinity, that he is the Son of God, that Christ died to take away our sins, paying a price that we could not pay, and indeed rising again, granting us new life with him through faith. The Spirit will work to preserve them in this truth, especially as they continue to carry out the same truth wherever they go, be it to India, Asia Minor, or even to the Black Sea region, or even to Europe when Paul comes a little later. Wherever they went, the Spirit followed, and ensuring that the truth remained the same, that the gospel did not change. This was the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples, even in the midst of their sorrow, giving them joy. He ensured that they will be looked after, even when he is gone. It's amazing to hear that the Spirit, the Paraclete, is the helper. And he has come to not just help those who have never heard the word, but to help those who are carrying it out. But it's not just for them, not just for the disciples. See, you and I, and indeed all Christians, bear witness to the amazing work of this Paraclete. We should be leaping with joy, shouting praise for what the Holy Spirit has done for each and every single one of us. For the Spirit is the reason that you and I are here today, hearing the Word of God read and proclaimed. It is the Spirit that drives you and I to confess our sins to God, fully knowing the promises that we have been guaranteed, that only come from Him because of His Son. It is the Spirit that convicts you and I to profess before one another the love and faith that we have in our God. We should give thanks and praise unending to the Holy Spirit. Without Him, none of us would be here. If He did not convict our parents, then we would never have been brought to the font to be baptized in Christ's death and resurrection. If the Spirit did not go out into the world, moving wherever the gospel was spoken, where would any of us be? Home? Sleeping in our pajamas right now? I'm sure the high schoolers would agree with me. Perhaps a different profession. Without the Spirit, we wouldn't have pastors. Without the Spirit, we wouldn't be here. If the Spirit did not do as Christ has promised, we would suffer. We would be like the Jews whenever we hear the amazing news of the gospel. Instead of accepting it and turning and be embracing the wonderful light of Christ, we met the person who speaks with stone. But we're not like that. For the Spirit is alive and at work in each and every single one of you. Even Luther explains this in the third article of the Creed in his large catechism. He makes it clear when he says, neither you nor I could ever know anything about Christ or believe in him and receive him as Lord unless these were offered to us and bestowed on our hearts through the preaching of the gospel by the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, we would not profess Christ. But with the Spirit, you and I, and indeed all those who have come before us in the faith, can proudly and boldly proclaim the exact same truth that Christ spoke to his disciples on the night when he was betrayed, all those years ago. For that is the exact same truth that has not changed over the last 2,000 years. So this Pentecost Sunday, let us give praises and thanksgiving to the amazing work of the Paraclete, who has convicted you and me to leave behind the lies and the falsehoods of this world and embrace Christ and his amazing promises through faith. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.